Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, if you're a Chicago music fan, you know that song. I would say anybody who's a music fan at this point knows that song. Tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome my next guest to the big table, members of the great Chicago alternative rock band, Veruca Salt. Veruca Salt busted on the alternative scene in the mid-90s with big hits like Seether and Volcano Girls. They signed to Geffen Records after being on Minty Fresh here. They toured the world, and they played Saturday Night Live.
We did.
You did. Good. We'll get to that. The band broke up in the late 90s, but just this year announced they're getting back together, the original lineup. They got back in the studio in L.A., just put out Ghost Notes, produced by one of their original producers, Brad Wood. And they are in town this weekend playing a show at the Bee Kitchen and headlining Wicker Park Fest on Sunday. Here in studio, Nina Gordon, Jim Shapiro, Steve Lack, Veruca Salt.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to The Download.
Hi. Minus one. Veruca Salt minus one.
Exactly.
Louise Post is in St. Louis right now.
Yeah. She will be with
She'll
you guys
be here
this weekend.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So let's start. I guess we'll start with the new stuff. I mean, you guys got together. I mean, what was it? Why don't we start with you, Nina? Like, what was it that got you back together as Veruca Salt?
The guy to my right is my brother. He's the drummer. His name is Jim. And so we were.
Is this in stereo? Can they tell that I'm on her right?
So we were together the whole time. We never broke up. For years and years, we all assumed that we would never play together again. And I really thought that door was completely closed. And then one day I heard that Mazzy Star were playing at Coachella. And we laugh about this because Mazzy Star are getting so much, they're just getting a lot of props. And because we keep telling this story. But anyway, I heard they were playing at Coachella. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. I got jealous. I got something. I don't know what it was. And I thought, you know what? We should do this. Like, the wounds have healed. Let's do it. So I emailed Louise and I said, Mazzy Star playing Coachella. We should be.
Was it a long email?
We had been in touch. We just never broached the subject of playing music together. We were friends again, although we hadn't seen each other face to face in 14 years. But we had emailed each other, you know, on birthdays, and we had, you know, the ice had thawed, but I don't think either of us thought music would happen again. But Mazzy Star hadn't played together in 15 years, and there they were. And I just, all of a sudden, there was an itch that needed to be scratched.
Well, you know, I think it was on your site, just talked about when you guys got back together and you started writing music, it was just a click. You guys are right back in to sort of writing songs, and that sound just came right back to you.
Well, it did. It definitely did. It was weird. It was like Louise and I started singing together, and it was like, oh, we sound like Veruca Salt.
I'll interject. I think, from my perspective, when the first time I went out there to LA, I still live here, and I heard what you guys were doing, I remember the first thing you played me, I can't remember which one it was, and we may not, it was like, oh, I don't know, maybe they don't have it yet. And then the second one, I was like, oh,
yep, back.
I was wrong, they've totally got it. Yeah.
How does it work? I mean, when you get together to write some stuff, then you say, okay, you know what we should do? We should bring the original lineup. Because Veruca Salt, over the years, has seen a lot of different, Luis did a lot of different things with the name, played with a lot of different artists. But the intention here was to bring back the original members.
Oh, yeah. And we would not, this wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been the four of us. I think, you know, once Louise and I decided to meet, we said, well, we got to get in touch with Jim and Steve and find out if they want to do it too, because we're not going to do this if they're not going to.
Steve, did you want to do it?
I didn't think I did. And then Louise asked me, like, just sprung it on me during lunch one day down by my house. And I was like, yeah. And I didn't even realize I wanted to, but I did, apparently. So,
Jim, what about you?
Oh, I mean, a lot of it was just like, it was always just so much fun just being around, being around as the four of us. And so that seemed really appealing. And then also, like, I mean, this may be obvious in some ways, but like I hadn't been a drummer prior to the band's forming. I kind of learned on the job, and I hadn't played drums at any point in between the time I left the band in 1990, late 96.
That's fascinating, really.
And no, I played bass. I mean, I played a lot of guitar and a lot of bass in various bands, but...
Get behind the drums.
But I hadn't sat down. And I was like, so on one level, on just some level, that challenge alone was just sort of fascinating. I was like, yeah, right. Like, you know.
And
like,
it sounds to me, you know, when you guys get together, I mean, challenge is a big part of it. I mean, the challenge of whether or not you're going to actually.
You can really hear that,
you know,
in the music.
Yeah, but it's like, if you know, ouch, getting back together as Veruca Salt can happen, if, you know, if you guys still have the chemistry, if, you know, you can get back behind the drums.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a daunting task to sort of not just reform as any band, but to reform as a band that was very, very popular.
Yeah, it was super daunting. One of the things that made it a little easier, I think, is social media, because we really knew that there were fans out there that were supporting us and excited about us getting back together. So there was a feeling of like, okay, at the very least, these people deserve to hear something new, even if we don't know what we're doing. Like, that just kind of gave us a little bit of push, you know?
When you guys got in the studio together, and, you know, the music has already been sort of established, and you said, okay, here's what we're playing, you chose to work with Brad Wood, who was the original producer on the American Thighs, right? So talk about sort of getting that band back together and going to the same source that sort of produced your seminal record.
I think it just made sense somehow.
What mechanism actually made that happen, though? I can't remember how we even got in touch.
I used to run into him because we live sort of near each other, and I used to run into him, and I don't know. I think we were going to record one new song, and put it out for Record Store Day on vinyl, and it just seemed like it would be kind of stressful to go in and record with somebody new, given the fact that all four of us hadn't played together in so long. So it just seemed easy, and
it was really comfortable.
And we knew him, and he was down for it. And so I don't know.
It immediately sounded good. Like, he just totally
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, he's a big part of what your sound was. I mean, so the driving guitars, the mix, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, did you feel right away when working with him in the studio, and not here in Chicago, but in LA, that it was the same kind of experience?
I definitely felt a similar thing, but I felt like it was a better version.
Well, exactly. I was gonna say, I'd say if anything, it was more comfortable. I mean, because the first time it was like we had just started being a band, like, right. We had played like 5 shows or something. We've done nothing, and everything.
And you recorded in Wicker
Park,
right?
And things had gone crazy so quickly. And there we were, you know, like, if someone tells you, "Oh yeah, we'll totally pay to go have you make a record," you're not going to say, "No, we're not ready to do that.
Right.
Go away." So we were in there, but it was really intense. Like, it was brand new, and I know I was super stressed out at that point, and barely remember it because in this haze of anxiety. But and again, I think you can really hear that on the record. but you know, this time it was just easy and fun, and like immediately stuff sounded good, and yeah, no, it was. So I would say it was no question better for me, at least.
Definitely. But,
well, we're talking with members of Veruca Salt here on The Download on WGN. They got a show tomorrow night at Beach Kitchen. You're doing Beach Kitchen tomorrow night. And then the Wicker Park Fest on Sunday. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk more about that time. You know, I'm fascinated by looking back at sort of where you guys recorded in Wicker Park, what's changed. You still live right around the corner.
Yeah, right there.
It's just interesting to think about how many years it's been since you guys were sort of dominating the Chicago scene. And sort of being back together has got to be great. So we'll talk more about that here on The Download. Stay with us. Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. The music of Veruca Salt. Members in studio right now, Nina Gordon, Jim Shapiro, Steve Lack, talking about coming home to Chicago. They're playing Beach Kitchen tomorrow night. They're also playing Wicker Park Fest on Sunday. They just put out a new record, Ghost Notes. It's amazing. The original lineup, and they are in studio. Luis is not, but that's okay. She'll be here with the shows at Bee Kitchen and at Wicker Park Fest on Sunday. When we took the break, we talked a little bit about sort of, you know, you mentioned, Jim, about the idea of being anxious because it was all new. You guys had this sort of, and it's sort of documented, this meteoric rise where you played a couple shows, people liked it and say, get this in studio. The next thing you know, you're recording music, you know, in Wicker Park, right, where you live now. Talk about that time, because that would be what, 93, 94?
Very. I think we went in on like New Year's Day '94. Is that true?
Exactly.
So what was it like for you guys? I mean, to the sort of, you know, the idea that you're playing these shows and you caught a wave.
Yeah, we were so innocent. You know, we had no idea what was going on at all. We went into the studio. We were so excited that somebody was going to pay for us to record an album, and that we were going to be working with Brad Wood, who had made so many records that we
Liz
really
Fair's
loved.
Record,
He made the Seam record.
Yeah,
like that
a bunch
just
of
came
Chicago
out.
Bands that we really loved. And so it was kind of thrilling. I mean, it was just, and we were so young and had no, I don't know, did any of us have jobs at that time? So like basically we would just.
I had a couple.
Yeah, but we just like.
They were really not good.
We just like go in the studio all day and all night. And, you know, it was such a sweet and sort of innocent, also kind of weirdly dark, because, you know, Chicago in the wintertime.
Right. No, that's what I remember.
It's
just
gloomy.
Like a little grim, too. In that just winter kind of hunkered down kind of way.
It was work.
Yeah.
And we were over in Wicker Park, and this Idful Studios was in a strip mall in Wicker Park. There was like a Rama Mart. Remember, there was like a
Rama Mart.
Yeah, exactly.
A supermarket, and it was
It might have been a dry cleaners in there somewhere.
Yeah, but it was just there was something kind of dreary about it. Although Busy Bee was there, pierogies,
Busy Bee, right.
The most delicious pierogies.
Well, I mean, you guys were coming off the heels of a gold rush in Chicago music. I mean, the Smashing Pumpkins, of course, Liz Phair, Urge Overkill, those bands were all sort of grabbing the attention of the country in terms of alternative rock. And you guys came in and, I mean, you did your first record on Minty Fresh. And talk about sort of what happened next. I mean, you did the record, you put the record out, but it was not too long after then Geffen Records was knocking on the door.
Right. It basically got gobbled up by Geffen. And and we were, you know, we were pretty psyched because Seether was on the radio everywhere. It was doing really well. And everyone seemed to think, like, well, you got to get a lot of records in the store because people are going to want to buy it. Mm-hmm. And if you stay on this little indie label, people aren't going to be able to buy it. And so we dove in and everything changed. You know, we jumped from a van to a tour bus and, you know, started living kind of large. And it was a blast.
What were some of the good things and the bad things about being, you know, now on a major label like Geffen Records? I mean, you know, there was this sort of, you know, push to get you guys to create more music, but it really was. I mean, Seether at the time was, like you said, was on the radio, and with the push from Geffen, I mean, it became sort of an MTV hit. I mean, it was I remember that was it. I mean, if Seether came on, it was top of charts kind of thing. Like, what were the pressures that were created by having a top 10, top 5 hit like that?
Well, following it up, you know, and choosing the second single and, you know, touring like crazy. And, you know, this sort of machine starts, like all the gears start going and you kind of can't slow down. And yet we are four musicians with really strong opinions. And it was hard to decide, you know, it was hard to make decisions and stuff together.
Sure.
And I think, you know, our record label and our managers probably got really annoyed.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, and also, man, and I know I've said this before, in front of at least two of you, that like there's also something about immediately about it going so well so early that suddenly you're in this position where you're almost feeling conservative, like you want to protect what you've already got instead of just like seeing where you're going. Do you know what I mean? Like you want to not screw it up, sort of.
Not a lot of people have ever been in that situation, but I mean, when you have sort of like the whole, you know, music industry sort of like, that's the hit, we're going with that song. Are there risks for that for a band? Were you guys ready for that? I mean, are there creative risks involved? Like, we're not going to try to put another hit out, you know, that kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, there were definitely, I think it was more personal.
Like, yeah, yeah.
The risks were more personal. It was about how we related to one another as a band, how we made decisions. Again, choosing singles and stuff, because we had two songwriters in the band, me and Louise, and you know, different people had different opinions about mm-hmm. what the second single should be. And we have had, you know, we were women in our 20s with really big egos, and it got complicated and it got kind of messy. So yeah, that was hard, I would say. I'm trying to think what else about it. I mean, mostly it was awesome.
But you guys, I mean, yeah. You know, you went on tour really quick, and then you went back in the studio and you did the EP, and the EP was with Steve Albini.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, and then even the follow-up, which, you know, had the Volcano Ghost, another huge track, which was Bob Rock. Yeah. The Bob Rock from Dr. Feelgood.
Bob Rock from Dr. Feelgood.
What was, I mean, it seems to me like you guys are like, I mean, Brad Wood, obviously a big deal, but then you're starting to get to the point where maybe, you know, the success is showing you some of the best producers in the history of music.
Yeah, we wanted,
what was it like?
The full range of experience, I think, yeah. was kind of how I look at it. Like, I thought it was pretty fun to go from Steve Albini to Bob Rock, even though Bob Rock's aesthetic wasn't necessarily in right. keeping with my thing. Definitely interesting and a lot of fun.
But I mean, he's a famed rock and roll producer. I mean, he does Metallica. I mean, Metallica and Motley Crue
and Def Leppard.
Oh, I mean, he was
Def
a metal Leppard. Guy.
Bon yeah,
he never, no, he never did Def Leppard. Never ever did Def Leppard.
What was the influence? I mean, you guys were sort of like entrenched in that alt rock kind of scene.
My experience is a little. I mean, there's a wide range of indiness within the band, and I was probably the least indie inclined of the four of us. But I don't know, there's something, I mean, I can't remember, was it, I actually worked for many years over at the Chicago Reader, a couple blocks away before they moved over to the Sun-Times building. And and Margasak from the Reader, Peter Margasak, I think at some point, finally, he'd given us a huge amount of
grief.
Poop. Just from the very beginning, he was always really down on us. And then I remember somewhere along the line, I think even he had to admit, like, in a way, going with Bob Rock for the second record was like the most punk rock thing we could have done at that moment. Like,
it totally
yeah, yeah.
was.
You know, that's like, great, yeah. it was like, you know what? Credibility is not really what we're talking about anymore. We want to make a huge record. We yeah. want to make like a record that just sounds enormous.
But the way it came about was that we were on tour with that band live. Mm-hmm. In 95, I guess. And we went on that tour because PJ Harvey were also touring with Live. And so we were on that tour, and Live's sound guy used to check his whole rig every day with Metallica, with Enter Sandman. And we were all sitting around eating dinner one night, and we heard it, and we just said, oh my God, what are we?
We could just go make.
We could yeah, do we that. Wanna we want to do that. And so.
Did
and
you seek him out?
We did. So we yeah, met yeah. with.
Oh, wow. No, I mean, now, as it happens, our management knew, you know, had worked with yeah. him before, and so there was, you know, wasn't a question about
it. But we also met with Brendan O'Brien at the same time. We met with Brendan O'Brien, and we met with Bob Rock. We loved them both. Brendan O'Brien's studio was in Atlanta, Georgia. And Bob Rock's was in Maui, Hawaii. Yeah, that was yeah. so
a certain amount of salesmanship
tips
going on.
He had a natural advantage there. Yeah. yeah.
Oh, behind
summertime,
the music.
Summertime.
Behind the music with yeah. Veruca Salt yeah. here in studio at on the download. When we come back, let's talk more about, you know, we covered sort of the records, but we haven't really covered the pop culture part of it. I mean, the MTV stuff, the 120 Minutes stuff, the yeah. Saturday Night Live. You guys are on Saturday Night Live. And then the subsequent breakup and getting back together. We'll talk about all that stuff with Veruca Salt. They're with me throughout the hour here on the download. So stay with us. I'm falling away. A daybreak and I've got my eyes on you. I'm playing it back. The heart attack that opened my eyes to you. Oh, watching the band react to their music here on the download.
Well, I was afraid you were going to fade it out before we got to the chorus, which is
I know where to hit this.
All right, just checking.
it's the download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Veruca Salt in studio with us tonight. Nina Gordon, Jim Shapiro, Steve Black. They're getting back together, the original lineup. They're playing Bee Kitchen on Saturday, tomorrow night, and they're also playing Wicker Park Fest. They're headlining on Sunday night. New record Ghost Notes is out. We're talking about their storied career here in Chicago and around the world, really. But, you know, when we left the conversation for the news, we were kind of talking about the producers you worked with and the music and sort of the idea of how sort of the meteoric rise of Veruca Salt. And it's interesting because, you know, I did mention the lead. You guys played Saturday Night Live. You actually have an interesting little trivia question. You played one song on Saturday Night Live,
yes,
right?
Yes, we were one of the few bands, possibly the only band ever, to only play one song. Traditionally, both, you know, bands play two songs on the show. But Sting was the host, which was exciting because we were all huge Police fans. So it was super exciting. Sting was the host. And between the dress rehearsal and the actual live show, Sting went to Lorne Michaels and said, I think I want to play a song.
He's like, I need to play a song and I need to wear a scarf.
Yeah.
Like those two things.
I'm just going to play a song. and so our managers delivered the sad news that we were only going to be playing one song.
I'm surprised that Lauren, well, I don't know anything about
that
show.
Sting, you guys. It's Sting.
Yeah, he's kind of the mayor of Saturday Night Live.
It's Sting.
Right. But at that time, I mean, not just Saturday Night Live, but just the, you know, one thing that I remembered about you guys, and it must have been hard, was, you know, you were sort of part of that MTV alt-rock movement, 120 minutes, like the idea, like you would debut videos on MTV, and that was sort of how people were introduced to Veruca Salt, much more than sort of buying a record. I mean, that was a big part of it. Talk about the idea of creating videos for your music, and, you know, that you talked about sort of how it kind of blew up for you guys. What was it like making videos for Seether, for Volcano Girls, that kind of thing?
Well, a good example of how crazy things got is that on our first video, which was for Seether, we worked with our friend Tim Rutili, and our video cost $2,000. Then when we made Volcano Girls...
We made the video for like no money, and they played it 1 billion times.
1 billion times.
Yes. Like, so the ratio was
$2,000, 1 billion times. But anyway,
500 million.
But then I think the budget for the Volcano Girls video was like $250,000.
Wow.
And it got played a hell of a lot too. Yeah.
That's the one where you're doing the bungee.
Yeah,
trampoline
it did.
Kind of thing.
But, you know, and you know, Michael Jackson videos or Janet Jackson videos or Guns N' Roses videos were probably $1 million. You know, right. So this was a measly little budget of $250,000.
It's, you know, every musician now makes a video. I mean, that's just the way it is. But for you guys, you know, for Seether, but also for Volcano Girls, did you like the concept of making a video, like being in the space and having the bungee cords on you? I mean, what was that like?
I loved it. I don't know what Steve thought. Jim was actually not
in the
video.
I left the band at that point. I left after we made the second record. I kind of was ready to do my own thing a bit more. And
you missed the bungee cord.
I missed the bungee. I was never strapped into that thing. So yeah.
Steve?
By the time we got to do the bungee cord video, I was not so much into videos. I didn't really love that experience.
Why? What is the, just faking like you're singing and
that kind
of stuff?
It just suddenly didn't feel homey. You know, it felt like it had gone to this other thing, which I was kind of still trying to come to terms with. So, like, the Seether video seemed like a lot of fun we did with our friends. And even the Number One Blind video, which we ended up not even using. But that seemed like a fun thing to do, too. Like, there was something about it that just felt more...
It was kind of lo-fi.
Yeah,
and,
it's
graspable.
Louise and I, the girls, enjoyed the video process, especially as budgets got bigger, because we loved the clothes and the makeup and the hair. Yeah. And we loved the fact that we liked what we looked like. And that there was, you know, it was fun. That part of it, we got to play dress up. So we loved that. And Steve probably didn't like to play dress up as much as we did.
All right. So
I got to wear a vest.
There you go. You got your lifelong dream.
Which I still get grief
finally
for
that opportunity.
Yeah. Dude, your friends are like, what's with the vest?
Dude, what's with the vest?
So I got to ask about the breakup. You know, you guys, you know, as sort of meteoric it was to get to the top. You guys had a sort of falling out, and the band split up. Talk about that experience, Nina, like the idea of you guys going in separate directions.
Oh, it was a really dark time. You know, Jim left the band after that second album, and we always jokingly say Jim was like the moral glue of our band. And then Jim left, and the moral glue was gone.
Why'd you leave, Jim?
I mean, as I sort of alluded to earlier, like I'd been a guitar player and a bass player prior to them needing a drummer and me learning to play the drums, to the extent that I did, and yeah, like after making the second record, I had this band that I played guitar in and sang in the whole time, and it was like, you know what, I didn't want to go tour this record for another year and a half. I kind of want to get going, and I don't know.
That was it.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So Jim left. We had a new drummer. We toured a lot. We had this, you know, big record that we were super proud of. And communication kind of broke down. Things went kind of cuckoo within the band. And Louise and I had this huge falling out, personal rift. And I walked away from the band. And it was an incredibly hard thing to do. And but we did it. We broke up. Mm-hmm. And like any romantic breakup, it was super traumatic. And we went our separate ways.
Steve, what was your take on the breakup?
Well, it was the kind of thing that, I mean, yeah, it was hugely traumatic and surprising to me. But also, I felt like if it didn't happen, I was probably going to leave soon anyway.
Like, was that volatile? Like, I mean, creative people, and you guys were at your wit's end of touring and so much, just nonstop Veruca Salt that it just was getting to the
point of... I felt like I was on autopilot, and I was drinking heavily, and it was just, like, not... it was grim, like you said. Like, something about it just felt...
Yeah, and I feel like we all got a little too big for our britches.
Yeah.
For our bungee cords. We were a little too big for our...
I had already taken my britches out of the, out of the picture, but
yeah. You guys had metallic jumpsuits.
Yeah, we had metallic leather jumpsuits. I mean,
I did not have one.
Well,
I probably should have.
I was
one.
So shocked the first time they came back to town, all like tricked out in the new, because like we had been like t-shirts and corduroys, like straight up old school alternative up to that point, and then when they come back and it was like...
superheroes.
I was like, what, like you guys are like in The Wiz or something. Like this is
the cast of The Wiz.
like what happened?
Let's take a quick break. Let's quick break so we can have some time on the back end to talk. We're talking with the band Veruca Salt, who are in town playing Beat Kitchen, and they will play headline the Wicker Park Fest this weekend. Much more with them after a quick break.
Chinatown burned down, I saw you start the fire. So deep, so sweet, Alphabet Street, what a poet, what a liar. Got a spell checking.
So download here on WGN, I'm Justin Kaufman, the music of Veruca Salt. They are back in town. They are the original lineup back together. They're playing Wicker Park Fest this weekend. The Beat Kitchen show sold out, so that's on me for continuing to say Beat Kitchen over and over.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah.
You but you are come.
You are headlining the Wicker Park Fest, which is Sunday night.
Yes.
Before the break, we were talking about a tumultuous time for the band, which was the breakup. You know, Luis isn't here in studio with me. Nina Gordon, Jim Shapiro, Steve Lack. But, there was, the band continued on in that name, right? I mean, Veruca Salt with Luis at the front and you guys weren't there, performed on. I'm not bringing up old wounds, but how did that make you guys feel?
It didn't feel good. Nope. It didn't feel good. It's kind of not fair because Luis isn't here
exactly.
And I don't want to dump
I'm not
on her.
Disparaging, yeah.
It's sort of well known and understood that, we didn't feel great about it. And it was hurtful, but... I also know why she continued.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. She had the right to, because we all walked away. So so it was weird. It was weird because it really was our baby, So we like to refer to those years as Veruca Starship.
Yes.
Yeah. That was Veruca Starship, and now Veruca Salt's back together.
My favorite thing about that, and there weren't very many favorite things for me about that time, but my favorite thing was Jim Shapiro calling me like 5 minutes later. Ultra Swizz needed a bass player.
That was the band that
I was like, wow.
Right when you're out, you're in.
That's what I want to do.
And so Steve came to play bass for us, yeah, which was great.
You know, I mean, now that you're getting back together, and the four of you, you know, you lived through the meteoric rise. You lived through sort of, you know, being a major label band. You lived through the tough times of breaking up, and it was pretty volatile. What's the goal of getting back together? Is it just making good music? Is it trying to get back to that place? Like, what's the goal of bringing the original group, Veruca Salt, back together?
Truthfully, the coolest thing about it is we've sort of been able to recapture that kind of innocence. We are able to make our first record all over again, you know, without any sort of self-consciousness. I mean, when we first got together, the four of us, 2 years ago, and decided we wanted to do this, we really just thought maybe we'd play like one show. We had no idea we would make a new album.
Like a reunion kind of thing.
Yeah, we just thought, you know, just for closure, like, let's do this.
There was no writing new songs.
No,
exactly.
And then all of a sudden, the magic started happening, and we realized there was more, that we had more to say, and there was more to do. And so, you know, it's kind of amazing. We went back in the studio with Brad Wood, and we had that same kind of embryonic feeling of like, we don't know what lies ahead. We're just doing this because we love doing this. And really, we just like kind of live to make each other laugh. And it's super fun to be together, the four of us, and just try to crack each other up and then sing really good harmonies and make a cool record, which I think we really did. Yeah. And so... Yeah. There was really no expectation of anything more than that.
You know, for you guys coming back here to do Wicker Park Fest, I mean, it's not lost on the idea that that's where you guys were born. I mean, the idea of Veruca Salt being a Wicker Park band in the 90s, I mean, there's just so much there for music fans and specifically Chicagoans. What's it like coming back to do this festival? I mean, tell me what Chicago means to your music.
Oh, I mean, yeah, this band was born here. And so many, I mean, all of the songs that we wrote were written in Chicago, all, you know, back then, those albums, and written, you know, in freezing cold Chicago winters. And part of the reason I think we were so prolific back then was you had to stay indoors. And like, you know, being in a band is a good thing to do in Chicago. So in Chicago winter. So, I mean, this is where it all happened. We have incredibly fond memories of being here. There's a song on the new album called Empty Bottle, which is about that time and sort of peeking back, you know, in time at that phase of our lives. We're super nostalgic about it and, you know, proud to have come up here.
Yeah, I grew up here. This is, you know, this is still my home, even though I'm almost never here. It's a year now, so.
And Jim and I went to high school with Ro Khan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We talked about that. So Jim, what about you? I mean, you're still in town. You live in Wicker Park. When you think about that time, you know, and you're still here, I mean, what are the memories that come back about Veruca Salt in Wicker Park in Chicago?
Well, I mean, it's funny. I mean, as I sort of said earlier, like, I was kind of the least indie rock of the four of us in some ways. And so, like, I think I was kind of slow, like a little slow to even realize what was happening on some level. Like, there was something almost like, when I got into it, I sort of, my way into it was more as like almost like an intellectual exercise. And it was only after a while that I realized like, oh wait, there's a million great bands and we're in among them and we're on bills with them. And like, it took a minute to realize like, wait a minute, this is an incredibly fertile place right now. And like start to get something out of it. No, it was pretty remarkable. Just like, and it's that feeling of like all your friends are in bands and you're all doing it and kind of pushing each other forward a bit and just trying to outdo, I don't know, just everything you ever hear about bands all being.
Does anybody remember the episode of the Monkees where there was like
The Jolly Green Giants?
Yeah, there were like bands all, there was some contest that they were, Battle of the Bands kind of thing. Yeah, like all the bands would drop in on the Monkees and they're all like, hey, it's the Jolly Green Giants. And it kind of felt that way. It was like we were all in bands. Like that's all we had to do all day long.
I mean, that's literally what it was like when we went to South by Southwest. Like we were driving into Austin and you look over to one side and there's like a band that's like in a hearse and they're all wearing mummy costumes and like you look over there and just like there they all are converging on Austin and like
That's it's a different kind of thing for you guys. That would you explain, you know, about Chicago at the time and being a part of a scene and everyone's in bands, that was sort of, you know, how you guys came up. Now that you Veruca Salt is back in 2015 and it's not like that because you're older, you have families, you're different thing. I mean, is it just the music that brings you guys back together?
I think mostly.
Yeah. Like I said, it's the music and it's also just like this group of four people had a lot of fun together and we still have a lot of fun together. When we all had that first dinner, the four of us, and we hadn't been together in 15 years, we, you know, just the idea that like we instantly remembered that we were like a family and it felt so comfortable and we just cracked each other up. You know, after saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, then it was just all laughs and that's super fun.
What's next for you guys? I mean, now that the record's out, you're here, I mean, you're touring around, like what is the next step for Veruca Salt?
Well, so our new album just came out like 2 weeks ago. So we're just super excited about that. We're touring, we're going to the East Coast, playing a bunch of shows this summer, and then we'll see what happens. You know, we'll kind of see what happens with the record. We just are so sort of shocked and excited that we have a record out.
That's great. I mean,
it's really unexpected.
Nina Gordon, Jim Shapiro, Steve Lack, three of the four members of Veruca Salt, who are in town this weekend headlining the Wicker Park Fest. I can't thank you guys enough for coming in here to WGN Radio, you know, the Chicago's radio station, to talk about your careers in music. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.